On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter preached a short message, and the scripture says this. I read from the book of Acts, chapter 10. 10th chapter of the book of Acts. At the conclusion of Peter's message, we read verses 44 and 45. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and many as came with Peter, because there on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now let's listen to what Peter said, beginning with verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." I want to repeat that. I want you to think about that. I want you to keep that in your mind. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." And he went on to say, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began with Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about with doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And then the verses, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." I wonder if we really grasp the meaning of this. The good news of Jesus Christ is found in the very first part of the message, amen? The very first part of the message. In reality, Peter is here quoting the host of angels who sang at the birth of the babe in Bethlehem. The good news to all men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. You see, let's go to Luke 2:13 and 14 and see that in writing. Second chapter want you to look at it as I read it. Matter of fact, let's read it together. Beginning with verse 13 in chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace and goodwill toward men. That's from God, amen? Now what men do with that? What men do with that good news? That's the big problem. Do they believe it or don't they? Amen? It's good news. Do they believe it or don't they? I want to speak this morning about God, who we are told in the Bible is no respecter of persons. I want us to think about that. This God who sent his son to save a lost and dying world, we're told, is no respecter of persons. Is that right? Is that correct?
That's right.
Is that what the Bible tells us?
That's right.
Last Thursday, on a popular program, Let's Make a Deal. How many of you ever watched Let's Make a Deal? Any of you? Yeah. Popular program. A young white college student and an elderly colored man won two great prizes. I think she won a car, I believe, and he won something else. Doesn't matter, but they won two great prizes. And they clapped hands and hugged and waved their arms in surprised delight and then returned to their seats. In Ferguson, Missouri, a few weeks ago, a white policeman fatally wounded a black teenager, and the stepfather of that black boy shouted, "Burn it down!" Referring, of course, to the business district of Ferguson. Two completely different situations, amen? Let's make a deal. The riots in Ferguson. But they share a very similar truth, one that we fail to really grasp, I think. Two completely different situations that share a very similar truth. The white girl, the black man, the policeman, and the dead boy's stepfather will all die and go to an eternal place called hell to suffer torment forever if they have not or will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that ought to impact us. So. You see, sin plays no favorites. All, notice this word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
There is none righteous, no, not one. On television last Thursday, there was a lot of hugging and jubilation. Well, in Ferguson, a couple of weeks ago, there was an ironic and tragic death and rioting. What am I trying to tell you? Simply this. The young white girl and the elderly black man who won prizes and the policeman that fired the fatal shot that killed the stepfather's boy and even the stepfather himself all need the gift that came to this poor lost world in a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. This should illustrate very, very clearly the mission of the true church in our nation today. The embrace of a white girl and black man is wonderful to see, but it saves no one. Amen? The shooting of that black boy and the anguished shout of the stepfather sends no one to hell. Believing or not believing God's word, God's son, that, beloved, is what sends us to hell. You say, well, I'm doing what we do. I'm doing what we do when I say, right, and hugging. Completely different. And we tend to say, cheating on your income tax and rape. Oh, which is worse? It's all sin. It's all sin. Rape is no worse than cheating on your income tax in God's eyes. He is no respecter of persons. Amen? That is in the chill up our spine when we think about loved ones that don't know Jesus. Well, I've never killed anyone. I've robbed anyone. All have sinned and then come short of the glory of God. This should illustrate, I think, very clearly the mission of the church, as I said. The idea that we categorize sin is preposterous, if you will. Yet we do. I think in the Catholic Church they have cardinal and venial sins. Is that what they call it, or something? This is a little sin. This is a big sin.
Yeah.
It's not in the book, is it? I can't find the book anywhere. I was born a sinner, and so aren't you. So. What are we trying to say here? Stumbling around as we do sometimes. If you and I are to escape an eternity in a place prepared for unrepentant sinners by the creator of this universe and all the rest of the people created in his image, which we talked about a little while this morning earlier, all we, you see, that includes you and that includes me. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us. We cannot be selected. We are all guilty. There are none who are righteous, and so on, that crisp Bethlehem evening, this was the angel's message. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill from God toward us undeserving sinners. Glory in the highest. God's goodwill toward a white college student. God's goodwill to an elderly black man. God's goodwill to the white policeman. And to the upset stepfather. And that was there. It was offered. They could believe it or not. You say, well, preacher, you don't know if they were Christian. That's not the point. I think sometimes we look all around so the point doesn't hit us in the heart. God's goodwill lay there in the cattle stall centuries ago, while a multitude of the heavenly hosts praise God for the birth of the Savior, for the sins of all who believed. And so that little baby grew into the man, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. You said, well, he was God's only begotten Son all the time. Friends, you've got to look at it from our standpoint, not from God's. You're not God. You're a human being. That baby grew up. Amen? He became a man. Amen? And that man died on the cross. Amen? For our sins. You say, oh, but he was very God. He was a man also. 100% God, 100% man. And that man sweat drops of blood in the garden, knowing he must go to the cross.
That's right.
For you. For me. For the white girl. And the black man.
Right.
And the policeman. And the stepfather. Jesus, we're told, did not come to condemn them, or you and I, but he came to save us. Save us. Keep us from dying and going to hell. Jesus didn't come to us in human form to condemn us. We live in a world of mistrust and sickness and death. But he didn't come to condemn that. He came to save us from it. The scripture states this very clearly. He that believeth on Jesus Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Why? Because he has not believed it. It's there for every single human being ever born on the face of this earth. You say, well, yeah, but you also preach that we can't believe it until God changes us. Amen.
That's right.
Have you ever prayed that prayer? As your son, as your daughter? That's what it's all about. Realizing you can do nothing for yourself. And saying, you know, if there's any chance at all, that little baby, it's so easy to celebrate the birth of. It's so easy to send out Christmas cards. It's so easy to give presents. That little baby grew to be the Savior of all who believe. I need him. Amen?
Amen.
I need him. What a Christmas that would be. Scripture states this very clearly. You and I may pick and choose, kind of like the game, let's make a deal. Do you want the box or do you want behind curtain number 3? Amen? That's kind of what it is. God does not, however, pick and choose. We're told, in very simple and plain language, the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Amen? Sin is not filed in different categories in God's book as it is in ours. Sin is failure to trust Christ. Sin is not believing God's word. Sin is what every man born of woman and every single human being is guilty of. We humans are guilty of labeling sin in little sins and big sin categories. Once we truly grasp the truth of what sin is, we realize our own inability to control it.
That's right.
You say, I'm a Christian. No, you cannot control it. The Holy Spirit controls it. And when Peter preached that message, the Holy Spirit fell. Amen. And many believed, and some didn't. Some didn't. But it's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference, not you. Once we truly grasp the truth of what sin is and realize our own ability to control it and confess it and repent of it and trust Jesus Christ to deliver us from it by paying for it himself on that awful cross, God's word informs us not only did Jesus die for our sins, but he was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose from the dead on the third day. He walked out of that tomb and he is now interceding for us in heaven. And he's going to come again one day to gather us to himself. Praise his name. You say, well, you know us, preacher. We've been here a long time. We've been friends for a long time. You know us. Why are you preaching a message that's evangelistic? Why are you preaching about trusting Jesus? Because I don't know that you have. You do, but I don't. And God told me to preach the good news. I've seen many, an active church member, confess they were lost. What a time, what a time. The birth of Jesus, celebration. God came to earth. What a time. Do you believe that? You believe what I've been telling you? This life of ours will have its times of clapping, raising our hands, hugging, surprise, delight. This life of ours will also have its Fergusons and its riots. But this life of ours here on earth will eventually end when we reach one of two destinations, heaven or hell. On page two, no limbo, no purgatory, heaven or hell. The one whose birth we celebrate this month and your relationship with him will decide which destination will be yours. Think about it. What do you believe? And who are you trusting in for your salvation?